Hey, welcome to Instant Reaction. It's the Blue Jay Banner post-game show live on our YouTube channel. Thanks for joining us. Please, 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 we want to get more people to join in, so hit that email up to us, bjbinstantreaction@gmail.com, and you can join in. We'd love to hear your comments on the big Jays win tonight, 78-56. Tim Kruder, Ross Ferrarini, Zach Weaver, fine producer, joining us. Ross, I thought the crowd was probably better than I expected, actually.
Yeah, as far as the amount of people there with it wasn't like a great crowd by any stretch, but it was.
No.
It looked better on TV than I expected as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, given what the weather outside, it was fine. I thought a lot of this was on Butler. It felt kind of low energy in there a little bit, and I thought Butler didn't play with a ton of energy, to be honest.
Outside of like the first 5 minutes, you know, they came out, and then
even then that was a little more Creighton affected, yeah. Right?
Well, they hit some tough shots from mid range.
They did. We were kind of like having them shoot the shots we wanted.
Yeah, and they were just hitting them.
Yeah. You know, their big was hitting some shots that we kind of wanted him to take, but once he got wore down, as Max said in his post game, you know, then they missed him. Again, welcome. Thanks for joining us. Huge turnout to our last show. We hope we have a big turnout again tonight. I know everybody's bundled up, so hopefully you get a chance to jump on. I want to thank our sponsors, Equitable Bank. We take banking personally, West Pacific Dental Group, and also Infusion Brewery. And now I can truly have a let it fly after a victory. It's been a long drought.
It has been. It's been too long.
It might be time for me to pull my excess alcohol in from the garage, because I can see this isn't froze, but it's a little frosty. yeah, as I said, bjbinstantreaction@gmail.com. Send us an email. So, Ross, your general thoughts on the game tonight?
Yeah, I thought the team looked I thought the guys looked pretty good. I thought they looked a heck of a lot more comfortable offensively. I think it was good for them to get home, and, you know, they obviously made some shots, which always helps Maverick, and that's something we take for granted because they haven't really been doing much of lately. But I was impressed with the way the guys played together, and I was impressed with, you know, Kalk. There's no way he's 100% coming back from mono, but I thought he played well, all things considered, probably being at, you know, 70% or so. But I just kind of like what I said. I didn't think Butler had a ton of energy to them. I mean, they Chuck Harris is a very nice player, but I like Manny Bates inside. He does some nice things, but against Kalkbrenner, he was just a little bit overmatched. That Butler team's okay. I would imagine it'll be close. I could see them being in the playing games on that Wednesday night in New York.
No doubt.
I'll be maybe surprised if they're not, but they're also not going to finish 10th or 11th either. So, you know, I would imagine they'll finish anywhere from 7 to 9. I'll be surprised otherwise.
I've seen them 3 times now, and I would peg them at number 9 easily. I mean, I think Seton Hall's a hair better than they are.
Yeah, I was just going to say their competition for that is probably Seton Hall. Quite frankly, if you just looked at our record, a lot of people would say maybe Creighton, but we're not going to end up being down.
I mean,
there,
we just beat them by 22 points. And yeah, I think our second half was very good. Our first half, obviously, a little slow to start out. And the fact that Kalk wasn't 100% tonight, and, you know, we still have some deficiencies. We still not getting a ton off our bench. And so, you know, we're still not there yet where we want to be. So that considered into the pack, yeah. Yeah, this definitely. I rarely get to listen to all the post game. By the way, Tyler Kmet does a great job.
I saw Tyler was there doing it.
Yeah, he was sitting with John tonight. He does a terrific job. He sounds really good on the radio. Like, really, really asks some pointed, good questions in the post game interview.
I wonder what he was doing in town for it.
I don't know. Where does he live, Ross?
Well, because he's a Kansas City guy.
Is he? Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Because I know he said he was, he's going to Chiefs game on Saturday. I think John was saying, yeah.
Maybe he's got a girl who's from here, or I'm not sure.
He's married.
Oh, that's right. That's right. He got married this summer. That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah, yeah. He said I knew this a bunch is his first. That's first right. Christmas married.
Maybe. Hey, there you go. Maybe that answers my question. I'm not sure where Tyler's wife's from. But yeah. But no, that's good. I can see him doing a very good job on the radio.
Yeah. Listen to just a snippet of our old show, and all I gotta say is thank God for you guys. Okay. All right. I thought Frederick started off a little slow. Then I thought in the second half you really came on.
Yeah.
I mean, he really played well in that second half, and it was really nice having a two-headed monster in the middle.
No doubt. Yeah. No doubt.
Yeah, you can see just his growth from getting pushed into playing big minutes the last few games and kind of put his head in a better spot, I think. He wasn't as scared of just getting yanked, right, probably. Right. So.
Right. No doubt. No doubt.
Sorry, my head is wandering to the end of the George Washington, Washington State game.
Yeah, it's a big one. The whole country's watching it.
But it's in a – well, you know, they're not – they're certainly not there because there's about, you know, maybe 300 people in the entire gym. It's in Hawaii.
Perhaps. That's right. I totally Diamondhead Classic. About Diamond that Head. Today. Rainbow Classic.
Yeah.
They call it the I think they used to call it that, Tim, maybe. They call it the Diamond Head Classic now.
Diamond Head.
But it's always like a decent tournament with kind of random teams. I mean, they've got Iona in it. This year was good. I know Pepperdine plays Hawaii right after this game. I can't remember what the other one was, but.
The field has dropped. Well, it was not that great a field way back in the day when we played in it. Because we had Nebraska, Creighton, Houston was probably the marquee team. And then it rose for a couple years, and then it kind of has faded off again now. Because people like to play in those Thanksgiving Day.
Programs would rather do the Thanksgiving tournaments. Do you remember what used to be a big tournament around Thanksgiving was the shootout in Alaska.
Yeah. It's gone away.
I wish they went back to that because like, I have fond memories of tuning into that thing.
Well, I heard teams that went to that, you know, we're talking now about the Maui hangover. They said the Alaska hangover was awful.
Oh, I'm sure it was brutal. Yep.
Yeah. So.
But anyways, good end of the game. Good to see a nice little assist from Sami Osmani to Xander with an and one. That was nice. Kind of a tip in the cap for the
– the walk-on guy would get that, would point that out immediately.
Well, I mean, seriously, those guys work their butts off. They're good kids. I went to a practice. They play hard, and it's good to see them get in and score and do some things, especially in a league game. You know, it's nice. It feels good to score and do something against somebody that's not, you know, Houston Baptist or whoever. So it's
you said that, Ross, and the guy in front of me, we were chit-chatting, and he goes, turns to me all of a sudden, he said, isn't it nice we can actually talk and not have to, like, worry about the outcome of the game for once? I'm like, I agree.
It was, I tell you what, though, it is brutally, brutally cold out. The walk from my apartment over to the arena, ooh, I can't remember it being this cold in Omaha and since I was a kid, probably. I mean, this is as brutal as it gets.
Yeah, I've been wearing sweatpants, a beanie, and a sweatshirt all day indoors, so.
Yeah, what we did was we did the thing, and it worked out great, by the way. So what we did is we parked at the Hilton. And then walked over the overpass into the arena. So we didn't have to go outside.
Yeah.
And it was a great deal. Like a guy came out and goes, here, did you park in the garage here? $10. Buy this for $10. You'll get out. And you could have gotten in for free because they just had the gate open. They weren't taking tickets. It was too damn cold. But
that usually that Hilton garage or whatever, though, that usually seems like a cluster to get out of.
Yeah, this wasn't bad at all. Not really? At all tonight. Yeah. Well, I'm sure because the crowd was down, you know, it's part of it. But I tell you what, even sitting in the Hilton before the game, just people coming in and out, it was cold in there. I mean, it was like.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, what's interesting, there's only 28 total threes taken tonight between the two teams. That's pretty darn low in today's modern modern game, especially in a game that we play in.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can tell that Butler, even when I watch them in other games, they're not an elite three-point shooting team, so they're probably not going to. I don't think Chucky didn't get many shots in the second half, and that really put their three-point level down. I know the people who are screaming and yelling about Creighton taking less three-pointers are going to say, see. Well, okay, whatever. But I thought our looks tonight were much better, by the way, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I just thought the guys looked more confident, which is a good sign, especially coming off of a six-game losing streak. You know, that means that they still believe that they're a talented bunch that's can do still do some things, and they're not going to let a six-game losing streak affect them.
I knew when Art hit his first one, things were going to go well. All right.
Yes, I agree.
We have our first viewer of the night, Easton. Hey, Easton, welcome to Instant Reaction.
Hello, how are you doing?
We're doing great, Easton. Go ahead.
Good. I'm just currently watching probably the score of the night, Missouri obliterating Illinois.
This is kind of a shocker.
Yeah, that's one of those games where it's like, holy crap. But about the game, yeah, that was as much as a Garrett Wright game as you could actually ask for. It was 5-6 minutes. We were up by like 9 or whatever, 16-7. I was getting ready to like kind of call off the season, but man, they turned around pretty quick there. It just shows you like Kalkbrenner, he's got to be a top 5 most impactful player in college basketball because it's just night and day. And then with him being out though, Frederick King, he's now a serviceable backup 5, and they both play great. Bear Shireman played, I think he was the player of the game tonight. It's very encouraging to see the team make shots, play with themselves, and not really force too many bad shots tonight. And even when they did, Baylor hit a bomb there in the first half. That was amazing.
Easton, you can either hang on or drop off and come back later, but we got to get to Coach's Corner. We have Assistant Coach Al Huss joining us. Hi, Coach. Okay.
Yeah, I'll stay on the call.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, great, man. Good to see you. Congrats on the victory. What was your game plan going in tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I think more than anything, we needed to have a few really good days of practice. I think we accomplished that. We needed to, you know, we faced a lot of adversity here the last month of the season, trying to play without guys, trying to game plan on the run, in tight circumstances with not a lot of time, with pieces not in places that we're normally normally used to. And so we needed three just kind of really good practices where we knew who was going to play, we knew what the plan was, and we needed to go out there and just fly around and practice, trust each other, communicate, and then take what we did on the practice floor and apply it to the game. And I feel like, you know, for the most part, that's what we were able to do tonight.
Yeah, after that slow start, I thought the defense played really well, especially in the second half. I thought we really connected in the second half. That was big because I was worried, you know, it was a 6-point game, and I was like, man, these first 4 minutes are just going to be key. And we won that 4-minute battle, and that kind of turned the game around.
Yeah, we had a couple times where we got a little sloppy with the basketball, and maybe we missed a couple shots we normally make. But for the most part, there was actually that stretch where I think we were stuck on 51 there for a while. Maybe it was 40. I don't remember what it was, 51 early in the second half. And we had an opportunity. We got several stops in a row, and we were sloppy with the basketball a couple of times. And then we weren't able to really extend it out like we should, but we stayed with it defensively. Butler's better offensively than they looked tonight. For whatever reason, they were a little out of sorts. I thought our post, our one-on-one post defense in the second half was tremendous. They really went away from that. Obviously, that was their plan early. They made some difficult shots over their weak shoulder a couple of times, which, you know, was not what was on the scouting report. We're And we just kind of, at the end of the day, you got to give up something. And if you sit hard on their strong shoulder, make them turn weak shoulder, don't let them get a deep catch, and they still throw one in, you know, that deal is going to come back to level at some point. So we felt good about it, but the guys fought them a little bit harder. Fred was tremendous. Call settled down and became way closer to his normal self there in the second half on both ends of the floor. And, you know, kind of once we took him out of their, you know, out of their pulling triggers with the post kind of plan, they went to a lot of their pick and roll and zoom actions in the second half. And I thought we were really good and really physical into the ball, guarding those actions, which we felt like that's what was going to happen. We felt like we'd be able to take them out of what they're doing in the post, and we'd be able to make them guard, go to their zooms and ball screens. And we thought if we were physical there and really connected and hooked up, communicated through it, we thought we'd be okay.
Yeah. I made that comment during the game. Early on, I said, you know, they're making some shots here, but those are the shots we want them to take. You know, it's eventually going to even out here.
They made some difficult ones there at the end of the first half, especially one or two of them come to mind. But again, we're a play the percentages team. Every once in a while that gets us beat. But we have a pretty good idea of what we're going to try to concede going into games. And I thought our guys executed the game plan nicely tonight.
Yeah, no doubt. Go ahead, Russ.
Well, I was going to ask Coach Russ what he sees, kind of stylistically, and you know what they run and what they're doing on the defensive end of the floor under Coach Mata. That's a little bit different than what you guys have seen the past few years under Coach Jordan.
Yeah, it's eerily similar defensively. They're really heavy in gaps, probably more so than any other team we played all year. They stay with their own a lot more. We've played, just for whatever reason, we've played a half a dozen teams in a row where they really switch a lot of that off-ball action, one through four, staying high and low. And, you know, it's easy to get stagnant against some of that stuff.
Sure.
You know, and Marquette especially did that to us. They really stayed high and low. You know, they stayed high and low on a lot of our exchanges and our pins and our zooms and things. And because of that, we had a really difficult time kind of fracturing their shell defense. I thought tonight, you know, we made some great back cuts and 45 cuts that really loosened up the gaps. But to answer your question, it's still the Butler way. They're in gaps defensively. They're exceptionally physical into the ball. You know, drop pick and roll coverage, which is a little different than what they've done in the past, which is a little softer, I thought. But you know, it's a lot of the same zooms and physical ball screens and post-ups. It's pretty much the same thing that they've done. Some different calls and a few different ways they get into it. Where they mask it a little differently than what LaValle did. But, you know, I mean, LaValle Jordan was a heck of a ball coach. That's what people probably, he ended up, you know, whether you think he got a bad deal or not, he was a good basketball coach.
Dealt with a lot of injuries.
Maybe they didn't have quite as good of players they needed to have at certain times, and had some bad luck with COVID and injuries, all these other things. But like, he was a good coach. They were physical. They were hard to beat, especially when they were healthy. And so, you know, Coach Mata's a good coach. I'm sure he's going to get it going, but it wasn't like there was some pushover that he didn't know what he was doing. He was a good coach that dealt with bad luck, in my opinion.
Coach, I thought Ryan Nembhard, too, got a little bit of his legs underneath him tonight a little bit. Was moving a lot better defensively, was doing a lot better. And I think, again, we get back to that. It was probably a little bit, part of it at least, a little bit of his safety blanket of Kalk being in there.
Yeah, I mean, Kalk just is on both sides. You know, it, obviously he stuffed stat sheets. I think he had 19 points again tonight and probably was only 75% of himself. So, I mean, obviously the 19 points help. You know, but his ability on both ends of the court to quarterback what we're doing, you know, whether it's the offensive action we're doing, he quarterbacks it. He's the one that makes the read. Everything plays through our five. That's the way our system works. And we're going to be as good as those guys are. Now, Fred filled in admirably, but he's just Calk's in his third year of doing it. And Fred's in his, you know, his 30th day of doing it, or 60th day, whatever it's been at this point, maybe 90th day. but he's still learning, you know, every day, the little details. And whereas Kalk is figuring out, you know, he's flipping ball screens and finding angles and faking this way, going the other way, Fred's just still trying to be in the right place. Much the same as Kalk was as a freshman and when Christian Bishop was doing all that stuff. So it's not all that different. It's just, it takes a year probably to figure it all out. And I think, you know, just having Calk out there on both sides of the ball and just communicating defensively, kind of being that, you said it, but being that safety blanket, Fred's a heck of a rim protector. I think we're all seeing now too, maybe as good or better than Calk by percentage. He's significantly better, I believe. But he just, you know, he's, Calk's never out of position. He's in the right place. He's telling those guys, you know, he's talking them through when they need to get talked through. He's veer switching when we need to veer switch and all that stuff. When you're out there on an island guarding the basketball, it's just it being able to trust that guy to be early and loud with the communication and be definitive with his decision-making. It's just, it's critical to our success and what we're trying to do in all of our drop coverages.
Not Trey, you know, he hit some shots late, and I thought that was really big for him because he's been struggling hitting some shots, and that's really big for him because you're always going to get a really good defensive effort out of him.
I think probably the best thing that I liked about Trey tonight is he got in foul trouble, he had some adversity, and he kept coming. You know, if I have one complaint about our team just as a whole and really Trey as an individual over our 6-game losing streak, it's just – you know, the scripted part, I think we carried out pretty well for most of those 6 games. The part that wasn't great was, all right, some adversity hit, whether that's individually within a play and, you know, we make a miscommunication, we have a miscommunication or we make a mistake or we deviate from our plan. You know, who's going to fly around and make a play? Who's going to have a little extra communication and help us fix the fire that's been created? And I thought both in individual plays tonight, Trey did that, but also when things didn't go well, he kept his head up and he was there to make some critical plays for us down the stretch. So when you look at both him individually and our team as a whole, that's the key point. It's when we go off script, which is going to happen, like no matter how much we game plan, we practice, you know, there's going to be some times when things don't go the way they want them to, both individually and as a team. And we've got to figure out how to make the best of those situations and try to fix them as many times as we can. And I liked that from Trey tonight. Like he missed some shots that he's accustomed to making and he didn't pout. He got in foul trouble. He didn't pout. He wasn't scoring early. He didn't pout. He just kept coming. And then ultimately he made a couple baskets and, you know, hopefully that'll lead him right into the next game. And he'll get back to kind of being that dominant wing scorer that, you know, that we all know he is.
Coach, it's easy to kind of forget about some of the freshmen that are redshirting or might be injured. One name that comes to mind obviously is Jason Green. We haven't heard much about him. Obviously he's a true freshman and he's redshirting. How has his development been?
Yeah, I mean, Jason's he's going to be a good player for us in time. You know, he's kind of learning still what he is. He's really a cerebral player. You know, where some of the guys maybe take a little bit longer to pick things up, he's a really quick study. He's not going to have any scouting report issues or anything like that. He's really sharp. He understands how to play. He knows when to cut. I think what's going to determine his ability to help us next year is two things. Physically, how much stronger can he get here? Cause he's got an incredible frame. How much stronger can he get in the next, you know, in the next 10 months? And then does he want to be an adequate jump shooter or does he want to be an elite one? And if the answer is the second, is the latter, then I think you're going to see a guy that's a, you know, an all Big East caliber player. If the answer is he just wants to be an okay jump shooter, he'll be an okay player. But he has the ability to really be a great shooter. And I think if he'll work at it, like I think he's capable, I think he's a guy that we're really excited about because he's got that kind of Denzel Mahoney ability to, even though he's not the bounciest kid in the world, he can really move his feet and guard guys. And he can really, I mean, he can guard really a 2 through a 5, much the same as Denzel, but he's, you know, he's 4 or 5 inches taller than Denzel. Very similar though, in his way, the way he can move his feet laterally and stay in front of guys. We saw that in AAU. And then that's shown itself in practice situations that guys have a really difficult time separating from him defensively. So he could maybe be a great complement to Mason, you know, going forward and Art and those guys that play on the wing. We think he could be really good.
I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Fran tonight. Didn't score, but did a lot of good things out there.
I thought he turned the game when he came in. And again, it's right along my theme, with kind of my theme, like it was kind of dead in there tonight. You know, I think people were still a little bit, they're still thawing their hands out. We hadn't given them anything to cheer about. And, you know, we needed to figure out a way to get a little energy in the building. And I thought Franny came in and flew around and talked and moved the ball and tried to guard. And he's just always in the right place. So he is, you know, he's guys target him a little bit. I mean, it's just, it's kind of the way it works. Like he's just a, you know, he's a 6'3" white dude playing in the high major basketball. And I can tell you, just this probably sounds bad, but the first thing I do, if they got white dudes playing, I see if they can guard. Like that's the first thing I do is back their clips. With all due respect to my people, we typically not the fastest. So, you know, and me obviously included. So he gets targeted a little bit and he's got to stand up to that. You know, and he's doing a better job of it. You know, he got targeted a couple times that Marquette game and we had a pretty quick hook with him. So I think he's pretty desperate right now to prove defensively, especially that he belongs, because he's been a good defender over his, you know, the course of his career at TCU. And it's just a different system. Like, you know, they were kind of more sending everything to the baseline and really playing out of rotations, which really, you know, you just aren't on an island quite the same way you are in our defense, where we're really trying to stay out of rotation. So it's just, it's new details for him to pick up. And, you know, he gets put on an island a little bit more with us than he did at TCU. And given time, I think he's learning that, you know, just how to be a little bit more aggressive, a little bit more physical, and learn where to take some chances. And he's going to be just fine. He's got to be what he was tonight, a 20-minute-a-night guy that can be really solid, that when he's on the floor, there's no drop-off on either end. You know, and I feel like he is that offensively, despite his lack of shot-making through whatever we've played 13 games right now. In time, he's going to be a high 30s, low 40s three-point shooter. He will. That's we've got 3 years of data that tells us that, you know, against every bit of as good a defense as we play in the Big East. So we got a feeling it'll work itself back to that neighborhood, which means he's got some shot making ahead of him. It's just the defensive thing. He's just got to adjust to it and get used to a new system and understand that when he's on an island, you know, he's got to be 911 on alert and just play as hard as he can, and good things will happen.
You know, I was just going to kind of carry off of that. Have you felt that from not even Fran, but the rest of the guys? Obviously you shot the ball from three much, much better tonight, but you know, the course of these past six games, have you felt a collective frustration from the guys at the lack of outside shot making?
Yeah. I mean, I think we try to stay pretty process oriented and just kind of, rather than go at just, hey, we're not making shots, we look a little deeper probably at the why, like why are we not getting shots we can make? The Nebraska game's probably the outlier, because they just literally said, we're not going to guard you. And we missed, I don't know, we missed, I think one, whatever that was, I think we missed 11 shots where the guy shooting the ball was the only one on that side of the floor. So that's the outlier. The other games, I think it's more like, all right, let's figure out, are we taking the right ones? And because we feel like if we take the right ones, we create the right ones with our offense, we're being unselfish. We're, you know, making sure we pull the right triggers and get the ball to the right guy, then we feel like over time the outside shooting will take care of itself. But the key thing is just making sure we take the right ones. Don't take selfish ones. Don't take ones that where you could make one more pass and go from good to great. And also, like, don't pass them up because you missed a couple. If you're taking the right ones, live with it. Now, all that being said, human nature is human nature. When shot making can be contagious at times, as can shot missing. And I think over the course of the last six games, a lot of guys have tightened up a little bit, and you can tell that we just needed a few of them to fall, because I mean, you saw early in that game that we had wide open ones. We passed them up a few times just because I think it's kind of oh boy, here we go again. You know, we're going to miss these shots tonight. And so it was good to see a few of them go in and just to see us move the ball a little bit and get the ball to the paint, because against Marquette, we just didn't get it to the paint for a variety of reasons, but we didn't get it in there. For us to be good and create the offensive looks we want, whether they're at the rim or whether on the 3-point line, we need to touch the paint with a couple of feet and get that thing there and play inside out.
Coach, what I was going to say was, Now, what would have made a great show is if right after you said that about your defensive ability, if we could have just cut to Coach Altman and had him on the show right then, that would have been just awesome.
You know, the best part about Coach Altman was when he would come recruit my guys, and McKenna was probably even worse than him, Grensing, all these guys that coached me, you know, I'd be out there laying into my team and they'd start laughing. I mean, they'd start laughing. Number one, I had athletes everywhere and like no guys that look like me, that's for sure. Just athlete on athlete. And they'd just laugh at me and say, guys, just so you know, he didn't do any of those things. Like that was the message that got consistently delivered from my former coaches. Maybe that's why they never got any of my players. I don't know.
Hey, last thing. What about DePaul?
I mean, it's obviously a weird deal. Christmas Day game. They took their break already. Like they're I think at the tail end of their break right now. We're going to take ours after the game. But it's a completely different game. It's back to way more switching stuff. It's a lot of Coach Altman's kind of thumbprint. It's all over it. It's matchup zone. It's switching man. It's a couple of different variations of pressure. You know, some of the same things offensively that Coach Altman ran, you know, some spread concepts and ball screens. And obviously when Terry plays, he's pretty dynamic at the guard position. You know, they're a lot better than what they've been the last couple of games. I think he's missed two or three straight. And it's just like a little knee bruise. So I think we all expect him to play. They're a much better ball club when he's in there. And, you know, especially because against our drop coverage, he's dynamic enough to really get away from guys and electric enough to make some plays. He did at our place last year. And he poses a whole new challenge. I would expect, I think he warmed up for the Northwestern game, their last one before break, and didn't feel like he could quite go, but I'm guessing after, you know, five or six more days, we're going to see at least a semi-healthy version of him. And, you know, there'll be a handful. There's no game in the Big East that's easy. And this is certainly no exception. It's going to be a war. It's going to be a quick prep and one that we've got to be ready for, because they do it. If you look at what Butler does and what DePaul does, they're just on opposite ends of the spectrum. So we've got to completely pivot and be prepared to attack something completely different than what we saw tonight.
Coach, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. Thanks. Great job getting that first one. Let's get another one on Sunday.
String a few together. Thanks much.
All right, buddy.
Thanks, Coach. Bye.
All right, guys, let's bring Easton on. And while we do, I've got a few technical issues to take care of. So let's take it over, Ross.
Tim, you seem like you're struggling over there, man.
He's going on a field trip.
Do we still have Zach? Do we still have this? Do we still have Easton?
Yeah, Easton's still here.
Want to say anything?
Yeah, right, I'm now. Still here.
Yep.
Get some things off your chest.
About Coach Huss' comments, I agree with everything. I was going to say underrated player of the game or unsung hero would be Francisco Farabello. He had his best game tonight. It was just very encouraging to see him come off the bench and give quality 20 minutes. Hope that's a great sign going forward, that he can be consistent with it. Like I said, King being a serviceable five now, going into Big East play, to the stretch of February and March will be a big contribution. And then, yeah, Carl Brenner being back top, I say top five most impactful player in college basketball, just based on tonight. So with it. Like I said, King being a serviceable five now, going into Big East play, to the stretch of February and March will be a big
I got that sorted. Yeah, no, I agree. On the Francisco front, he made some passes that only an Argentinian basketball player or a European basketball player could possibly make tonight. Nutmegged a dude. That wraparound on the baseline was pretty filthy. I have no idea how that one went through. I think that was more impressive than him throwing it between the legs. But yeah, it was nice to see those things. He got a steal. So it's nice that, you know, even though I think he only took two shots, I think he was 0 for 2, but you know, I mean, those, he had three assists and that's 6 points right there. So
Yeah, I mean, he didn't kill anything. He killed the offense or nothing. I mean,
yep,
he did his job. Hopefully those shots he start going in for him, and yeah, he can be the best player off the bench. Actually, second, I would say Frederick King and then him, but those are two I feel most confident off the bench right now. And then even Miller had an alright game. He rolled his ankle there early in the game, but it's crazy. I didn't even notice Sharif was out tonight. That's how much good we played. So I don't know. I heard he rolled his ankle. I don't know what happened there.
Yeah, he sprained his ankle in practice on Monday or Tuesday. Tuesday he was in a walking boot, and then it didn't look like he was wearing it on the sidelines. So I'd say that that's positive moving forward. I think I saw in the post game Max said he'd be day to day from here on out. So I'm sure we'll find out. I mean, next game's in 3 days, so relatively quick turnaround. And
yeah, I want him. I think we'll be good without him Sunday. So
all right, hey Easton, thanks a lot for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Yep, no problem.
Thanks, man. Ah, Jerry dropped off, didn't he? Get him back on.
Yeah, we had him, and then I think he had the show playing in the background. It was coming through.
All right. Yeah, there's Jerry. Yeah, I was just gonna say one thing about Francis. I think the plus minus is kind of an overrated stat. Excuse me, in basketball.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, I think we. You know,
all right,
yeah, Francisco had like a 20 tonight, but I think that's overrated.
I was just gonna say one thing about Francisco. I know
we gotta get Jerry on the mute there. You know, he did like Huss said, he did kind of bring some energy in there. Yeah. I know they were going off on the radio when I was listening to it about the plus minus, but yeah, again, that's a hockey stat that's brought in. I don't know.
That's overrated. I was just going to say.
What we got going on there? A lot of echoes.
Yeah, it's Jerry.
You know, he did, like Huss said, he did kind of bring some energy in there. Yeah. I know they were going off on the radio when I was listening to it about the plus minus, but yeah, again, that's a hockey stat that's.
Hey, you got to mute the background. We're getting some feedback from you.
What's going on?
Yeah, we're getting some feedback from. We're hearing us, so make sure and turn the volume down when you join us.
We still got Jerry.
Not, or is not he gone? To, hey, not he, to diminish. Still he's still here. He's
mute the background. We're getting some feedback.
What the hell? I don't know.
Yeah.
There we go. Maybe best to just drop Jerry off at this point. So, what else we got, Tim? Unsung hero. I probably agree with Fran Farabella being the one there. I like what he gave off the bench.
That's where I was kind of headed with that.
I was going to actually go co unsung heroes. I think Ryan Nemhard is a good candidate for that tonight because he's struggled with turnovers recently. I think 11 points, 5 assists, 1 turnover. Which is huge.
Pretty good.
Yeah, that goes a long ways. Like between him and Fran.
He seemed to kind of hit his stride there in the when he played, he wasn't very good that first shift. He went out and Trey ran the point, and then Ryan kind of took over after that. It kind of took like he did it.
Yeah.
Worst call of the night. I want, this is an easy one for me. It was Schreierman. Got called for a foul when it was an illegal screen. I don't know what the
hell
was
exactly
going
which
on
one
there.
You're talking about. I forgot about that until just
Jack
now.
Went ballistic on it. I don't know what that. I thought when they blew the whistle, I'm like, yeah, that was an illegal screen, and then they called a foul on Schreierman. I'm like, what? That was ridiculous.
No, you could just walk a guy down while you're screening him, but
I don't have one. Nothing really sticks out to me, to be quite honest.
That one I had a better look. I wasn't at the game, so I had a better look at it. But it was pretty silly. But outside of that, it seemed like a fairly well called game. Nothing, you know, one way or the other that really stuck out to me outside of that one.
All right, Jerry, let's see if we got you in a better connection.
Right, I was hearing some major echoes there.
Yeah.
Man, that was a cold walk to the game tonight. Wow. Brutal. I had to walk from the garage outside. Yeah, it was a long, it was cold. Wow. Yeah. No, I thought we got off to a slow start, obviously. And, you know, I was a little bit worried. I'm like, oh crap, here we go. Just no life on the team. And then we finally hit a couple shots and seemed to get it going. And we came out in the second half and kind of, bit, you know, used our length down inside, caught, got it going. But yeah, definitely a win we must have had. I think I put out there earlier, we got to win this game. We need to win these next three games coming up before we go to UConn on the 7th. So, yeah. So step one down. I'd like to see us come out against DePaul with a little more fire to get off a little bit better start. But, you know, besides that, you know, shots went in. So must win we had to have, I guess. So what did you guys think of the crowd? I thought it was more people there than what I thought, considering the team.
It was just they were kind of late arriving.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the team kind of got off to a slow start because there wasn't much energy going on.
No. So I got there about 30 minutes before game time. But, yeah, I was worried the crowd would be bad because six-game losing streak. And I think it was minus 33-degree wind chill. So
yeah.
That was
definitely
a tough one to get to. What do you think about DePaul? You know, they looked like they were playing better in the first year. And, God, the last two games they've really gone – I mean, they're blown out by 40 by Northwestern. I mean, they just not show up or what? So,
like Huss said, who are they missing, Ross?
Jalen Terry.
So he's been out, so that's a big part of it.
Will he be back for the game in Creighton, I think? Or
I thought so, yeah.
Yeah. More likely than not.
What did you think about Calk? I thought he was about 80%, 85%. Obviously, he was good. But
I'd put it more like 70. He was okay. I think his wind was okay. It seemed like it just that. Just at times his hands weren't working with the rest of his body. You know what I mean? Like he just wasn't in sync. And I thought, but you know, 19 points for your first night out. That was not bad.
It was kind of like, where's he been? And you look up and I saw he had 16. Like, wow. Yeah. You know, I guess you take advantage of those, you know, little putbacks he has. So
little short corner jumper was pretty nice too. I didn't know he had that.
Yeah, just kind of sit there. I'm not going to guard him. I mean, you know, if he's got a wide open 10-footer, why not? You know, it's a higher percentage shot than we have. So
that's going to be huge. That's going to be huge going forward if he can hit those shots like that. You know, if they're going to have to come out and guard him, then that opens up the lane for Kaluma and Schreierman.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You know, we play UConn. I mean, is he going to be able to bring Santiago out from the bucket? I mean, if he goes up top of the key, is Santiago going to have to go out and find him? And that should maybe open up the inside for like Arthur and stuff. So.
Hey, Ross, a couple games ahead. Who's the dude that UConn has that transferred from San Diego? What's his name? Calcaterra? He went off the other night against Georgetown. And man, is he a cocky player.
Yeah. Joey Calcaterra? Is that right?
Yeah, the guard. Yeah, the guard that comes on off the bench. Yeah, he's a nice player, though. He does some nice things for them.
Yeah, I think they call him Joey California.
Yeah, he's pretty cocky.
Yeah.
You
know, I was looking at UConn's schedule. I'd be surprised if they're still undefeated by the time we get them to 7th. I mean, they play Villanova at home, but then they got to go to Xavier and Prue Providence. So
they've got a tough fall coming up here.
Yeah, they've got some tough games. If they are undefeated coming into, they'll probably be ranked number one in the country, but. You know, Villanova's looking a little bit better now, obviously, with that freshman they got. That dude, he doesn't look like a freshman, man. He is chiseled. So, you know, Nova's playing a little bit better with him now. So, you know,
when they get more back, they'll be good.
So they're going to be the old Nova. But yeah, definitely got to win these next two games at home. You know, Seton Hall's lost a couple close games. Obviously looking past DePaul, but it's still a game we need to win at home, beat a team like Seton Hall. So
St. John's was dreadful in that second half against Villanova.
Played stupid. Yeah. They're a team. Their basketball IQ is not the highest on the charts, I don't think. They make some dumb plays. I mean, they're athletic and they can look good for a while, but they can also play really bad. So
Speaking of awful, did anybody see the Arizona State?
I saw that 38. Hurley got kicked out, I heard. So
yeah.
Oh my God, I watched the whole thing. Arizona State was absolutely dreadful. Oh my word, Cambridge twin didn't play. He was out, but still, they were. I think at one point, with 6 minutes to go, they were 20% from the field and like 15% from three.
Right.
They were just atrocious.
Right. And I think they're probably going to have some games like that. I mean, they had periods in, when Creighton played them, they did not play very good and took some bad shots, but they also hit some shots. So they're going to be an up and down.
They hit nothing. Again, like I was talking about this at the game. That's what worries me. Like on Sunday, like Huss was saying that, you know, DePaul's already had their break and they're coming back. Right. Mm-hmm. That game before break, that's why Matt always likes to play a cupcake that game.
Yeah.
Because the kids are thinking about getting on that plane or going home, whatever, right after the game. They're not thinking about the game.
Right.
And that's why that's a dangerous game on Sunday. And that's a game for Arizona. And not only that, you want to put another sandwich deal on this one for a betting perspective. Their next game, when they do get back, Arizona.
Yep.
Seems like so there's a lot of weird schedules.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean Arizona State?
Arizona State has Arizona. Yeah.
I was going to say, it's so strange to me that there's still non-con games going on right now.
Oh, there is,
I think Kansas played Harvard tonight.
Yeah. Well, Missouri and Illinois always play like a couple days before Christmas down in St. Louis. Okay. They always play this.
Yeah, blew Illinois out.
Yeah.
Can you believe that? Blew them. Yeah. Boat roast them off the court. So.
Well, they needed that after KU.
KU cameled them, right? Yeah.
It's a good night for Joel.
Yeah, and Jerry.
Yep, that's
right. Oh, yeah.
Hey, Jerry, thanks for joining us.
Hi, guys. Thanks. We'll have a good Christmas.
Yeah, you too.
Same to you, Jerry.
Hey, later.
Thanks, Jerry. Bye. All right, let's wrap it up with the highlights when you pull those up, Zach, if you got them.
Yeah.
Let me know if you do. Ross, any other thoughts on tonight?
No, not really. I thought the team played well, and obviously it helps when you're making shots, but it was nice to see Kalk back. He obviously gave a whole lot of production, and I just continue to be enthralled with Fred King's development. I am the biggest Fred King fan maybe in the entire Creighton fan base.
Well, you'd have to fight me for that one. Because, man, yeah, he – his first shift with Duncan, but that second half, man, he was – the first half I'm sitting there thinking, okay, when Kalk was out, you played so well, and now Kalk's back, and, you know, and then he looked a little tentative out there, but, man, he took it to him in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
That was awesome. You had a few thoughts on DePaul. Any more on DePaul? I mean, I just – this game scares me only because it's Christmas type thing, you know?
I've watched them a little bit. I the games I've watched, the one game I watched, they smoked Minnesota at Minnesota, but then I watched them again a little bit the other night and they got smoked at Northwestern. And I watched some of their game at St. John's, and St. John's plays such a different brand of basketball. It's hard to get a really good feel, but they've got some pieces. I mean, it's not just an automatic, you know, 20 point win by showing up. I mean, they've got some guys that'll make some shots and are athletic and can do some things. So yeah, the guys got to show up on Christmas. There's no doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. This isn't the whole replay, is it? There we go.
No. I just had to fast forward it a little bit.
I was like, wow.
This is what I was seeing at home, was the video quality of the broadcast was not good for most of the first half. It looked rough. Like, all the graphics were fine, but then the actual video feed was just not good.
Well, everybody around the country is probably going to start dropping DirecTV after the holidays.
Oh, yeah, I saw that Sunday ticket on YouTube TV.
I'm sorry. I'm going to if they're going to charge me $65 full time and I can get direct ticket, I'm sorry. I'm one of those guys.
I already have YouTube TV, so it's nothing to me.
You like it?
Yeah. Yeah, I have no problem with it. It's really easy to look stuff up. Like, if you want to watch a Creighton game, you can just search Creighton. Look it up that way, and it'll take you right to it. Don't have to look for a channel.
This was big because we had to take a time out here because we're kind of getting blown out a little bit.
Yeah, I do think the long Baylor three was kind of the linchpin for when the team got a lot of energy.
It does make a difference too when, you know, you do right there. You can see how even though Kalk has the ball, everybody else is so worried about everybody and they're worried about Kalk and they're trying to double down. And it's just a huge difference.
Yeah, and he's a very good passer out of the post as well. Yeah. Yeah, we've seen a few guys do that over the years.
Yeah, that was shot clock deal there.
Yeah.
Baylor was pretty fired up tonight.
Yeah, he was.
It's because he didn't have the t-shirt holding him back. He went no t-shirt under the jersey for this one.
There you go, because he didn't have the gray one probably.
Yeah. There's it. Yep. There's the
beautiful pass.
Smooth. Yeah, the smooth little nutmeg there.
You know, after Baylor went down that one time, it traveled. And then my buddy I was sitting with, we watched like the next two possessions and there was four travels. It's just something they just don't call very often. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy.
I thought Fran should have kept going there and tried to get to the
rim. Yeah, I did too. Although it was a nice job because, remember we had Ryan do that the last game and then got swatted and, you know, so it was maybe a talking point that, hey, let's not try and be a hero. It was good to see Arthur hit a couple of threes right after.
Yeah, he was 2 for 3 on the night. Or maybe that was – Trey was 2 for 3. I don't remember what
we already went. We already went past it. We didn't talk about it earlier. We already went past the point where Art got that flagrant foul.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Did anybody get a good look at that?
Yeah, the guy just took his arm and pulled him. Just pulled his arm.
I caught it on the corner of my eye, and I thought, wow, it looked like he just pushed him or pulled him or something, you know?
It was one of those where it's just a non-basketball play. So that's just by rule. That's a flagrant.
Man, I was sure hoping Art could have finished that one right at the end of the half. But this was huge because they came out and got the first bucket, cut it to 4, and I'm like, oh, boy, here we go. But we came right back and got a really good post feed into Kalk and got things going.
Yeah, and he also did just look increasingly more comfortable as the game went on.
I think we out-rebounded by, 18 tonight?
Yeah, it was a huge...
Something insane.
Yeah.
If we can do that, that's huge.
Yeah. I think they were saying they did just get out-rebounded by 20 at UConn. And I think Baylor set a career high for blocks tonight. He had 3.
You know, I watched that UConn game. They were right there with them, but... over halfway through the second half.
Yep. Yeah, they end up winning by 10. UConn?
I don't remember. But yeah,
against Georgetown, they won by 11, I think.
No. Butler.
Maybe I'm thinking of Georgetown.
Butler and UConn and Hinkle was last week, I think.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the Georgetown game.
UConn won that game by like 20, over 20.
Yeah, I mean, but there was about 8 minutes to go, and it was like a 3-4 point game. They were right there. Boy, what a great job, by the way, Ben did on Monday night with us on Blue Jay Banner. If you didn't listen, you should have because – he broke down exactly what happened in practice, and that's exactly what happened. They began communicating on defense, and boy, things turned around.
Yeah, it really did. And they look just like a completely different team offensively, too, when they get defensive stops. Of course, it makes everything easier when you're scoring and the other team isn't. So
right, but that's true. Nice to have when Kalk's not in there, Fred's in there blocking shots, you know?
Yep, yeah. I don't remember how many they had as a team. They had at least 7 blocks as a team. There's 8 right there, so
We had 8 blocks tonight.
And so I know
Baylor 3 by Baylor, 2 by Fred, 2 by Kalk, yep. And 1 by Kaluma. No, 1 by Trey Alexander, actually.
My Trey. I think that one might have been on a jump shot.
Baylor did have the 6 turnovers tonight, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that he had 6 turnovers. I think Fred King had three. Yep.
Fred had 3, but, you know, that one he got when he was down low post, that's not his fault, man. Guys got to be yelling at him that there's a wolf coming. And
yeah, you got to let him know that there's a guy coming from behind.
You got to communicate there. There's your boy, Xander Ross, getting the and one.
Love it.
The only unfortunate part, yeah, I think we're good. This is just goes into Max interview, but
let's see.
All right, man. The only bad thing about the Osmani assist and the Yates bucket is it takes him out of the running for a trillionaire. I think we got Evan
Boss,
Young
did
leading
you guys
in that
ever
category.
Talk about that when you were playing?
No, I had never. Zero interest. I was in there to score.
I think Taylor Stormberg won it, didn't he? I think Taylor
had a string of a lot of them. Yeah. But,
yeah. Yeah, I remember following that closely.
I was not
15.
Does Taylor still, you know, carry that badge of honor?
I can't imagine. I don't know. Maybe he does. Maybe he's got a plaque.
My old buddy's cousin, so might have to ask.
All right. So, hey, thanks everybody for joining us. Really appreciate it. There will be no instant reaction on Christmas Day. And we will not have a Blue Jay Banner show the day after Christmas or the day after New Year's. So the next time we will speak to you will be after
January
3rd. Seton Hall game. So join us about an hour after the game ends. And join us then. Zach, Merry Christmas. Ross,
Merry
Christmas.
You guys as well.
We'll be in touch and have a great weekend. And we will hopefully by next weekend, it's supposed to be in the 50s. So how great is that?
Much needed.
We'll be bringing out the golf clubs. All right. So let's hope we can get a couple more wins here and get to 3-1, head into UConn, and that'll be a big one. All right.
Yep.